Hello, and welcome to Tantrum Hour Report on CHMA 106.9 FM, broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the treaties of peace and friendship first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, August 9th. Coming up on today's show, Bruce Wark continues his coverage of the candidates hoping to represent Cumberland North in the Nova Scotia legislature. Today, Wark talks with one of the youngest candidates in the election, Lauren Skabar. And we'll preview what's on the agenda for tonight's meeting of Sackville Town Council. That's coming up right after some more local news updates. The Moncton region now has 56 active cases of COVID-19, though still no hospitalizations. Another 16 new cases were reported Sunday, stemming from the two previous days. The province now has 75 active cases of COVID-19, and there is a long list of potential public COVID-19 exposure sites on the province's website, including the Aboiteau Wharf Restaurant in Capelay on August 3rd and the Sandbar Restaurant in Shediac on August 3rd, and a number of restaurants and bars in the Moncton area. The full list is available on the Government of New Brunswick COVID-19 site. A Sackville man charged with multiple assaults was back in Moncton Court by video link on Thursday. Colt LeBlanc was scheduled to plea on charges of assaulting a police officer, but his lawyer, Michel Deneige, told the court that full disclosure had not been received from the Crown on the case. Deneige is LeBlanc's second lawyer, and Deneige speculated the disclosure may have been sent to his previous representation. LeBlanc has been held in Shediac Jail since July 6th, when he was arrested on another assault charge, to which he pleaded not guilty on Thursday. The judge ordered disclosure be released and set a date of September 9th for LeBlanc to enter a plea on the police assault charges that date back to January 9th through 12th. LeBlanc is accused of assaulting RCMP Constable Patrick Beliveau with a shovel, resisting three Mounties, and assaulting Beliveau and Constable Yuan Comeau. Sackville Town Council meets tonight for their regular monthly council meeting. Council will start off in camera at 6:15 to discuss a human resources item, and then at 7 p.m. the public meeting is scheduled to begin. Beyond the usual departmental reports, councillors will be asked to consider a number of motions, including a renewed two-year contract with Marianne Oster to manage the canteen at the Tantramar Veterans Memorial Civic Center, the reappointment of Kelly Matital to the Sackville Arts Wall Committee, the go-ahead on completion of a natural assets inventory for Sackville, the temporary closure of York Street through the Mount Allison campus on September 3rd to accommodate traffic to and from the school's Welcome Center, the waiving of fees for family and lunchtime skates for the 2021-2022 ice season, and four motions in advance of the annual general meeting of the Union of Municipalities of New Brunswick, directing the UMNB to lobby the province for a ban on recyclable materials at landfills, for the use of carbon taxes to further the province's climate action plan, and for changes to the NB Elections Act to allow permanent residents to vote municipally and for Indigenous language to be used on municipal and provincial ballots. Another possibly contentious item is up for vote. That will be the first reading of amendments to the town's street traffic bylaw that would permit skateboards on public streets. Three councillors have spoken against the bylaw revisions and three have spoken in favour. Councillor Sabine Dietz has said she's on the fence on the issue, and Councillor Bruce Finney voted against the motion to pursue changes back in April. With Finney away for today's meeting, it seems that Dietz will cast the deciding vote on the issue. This will be a first reading only of the bylaw revisions. They must also pass second and third readings before becoming Sackville bylaw. The public portion of tonight's meeting starts at 7 p.m., and residents are invited to attend in person if they register in advance or participate online through Microsoft Teams. The meeting will be live streamed, and links are available on the CHMA or town websites. The town's Public Works Department is warning of vehicle traffic delays along Main Street by the Booster Pump beginning today and extending all week to Friday. The town says they are performing much-needed repair to a culvert in and around 197 Main Street. The area will be open to through traffic, but there could be delays, and the town advises that anyone in a hurry should use exit 506 during the day this week. Provincially, Green leader David Kuhn is asking the government to bring back isolation requirements for people who are not vaccinated traveling into New Brunswick. And the province announced Friday it will now cover the full tuition costs for New Brunswickers who wish to become personal support workers or human services counselors. Post-secondary education training and labor minister Trevor Holder said the move is intended to address one of the province's most critical labor needs. Previously, the province covered 50% of tuition costs. This change is expected to help fill about 350 available seats for personal support workers and about 150 available seats for human services counselors. It's funded by the federal and provincial governments through the Canada-New Brunswick Labor Market Agreement. Those interested need to see an employment counselor through Working NB and complete an approved employment action plan in order to qualify for the funding. One of the youngest candidates in the August 17th Nova Scotia election is running for the NDP in Cumberland North. 24-year-old Lauren Skabar is hoping to win the riding her father Brian held when the New Democrats won the Nova Scotia election in 2009. She says she's proud of her father's work for the party, but is also excited by its new direction under the leadership of Gary Burrell. Skabar is running in Cumberland North against strong opponents. Former Progressive Conservative Elizabeth Smith-McCrossin is seeking re-election, this time as an independent. And veteran Member of Parliament Bill Casey has come out of retirement to run for the Liberals. CFTA radio host David Whiteman is carrying the Progressive Conservative banner this time in Cumberland North. As we hear in this report from journalist Bruce Wark, Lauren Skabar says an NDP government would bring a fresh approach to politics in Nova Scotia.
My name is Lauren Skabar, and I'm the NSNDP candidate in Cumberland North for the 2021 provincial election. I've been listening to a lot of Carly Rae Jepsen. She's my hype girl. She really gets me happy, and no matter what mood I'm in, she can get me out of bed and get me dancing.
So, Lauren, you're the NDP candidate in Cumberland North. Why did you decide to run for the NDP in this Nova Scotia election?
Well, I've been involved with the NDP for as long as I can remember. I would go with my parents to different events and different debates. I've been a card-carrying member since I was 14, so over 10 years now almost. And I remember even before I had my own membership card, I would carry around my dad's and pretend it was mine because I wanted to be a member so bad. So for me, the NDP has always represented something better for Nova Scotians, whether that be better healthcare, better access to information, quality housing, quality healthcare, higher minimum wage. Just it represents everybody in Nova Scotia and not just the higher-ups in Nova Scotia, not just business owners in Nova Scotia, but everybody. It's something better for everybody, and it's a uniting factor that I think is really important.
At age 24, Lauren Skabar is one of the youngest candidates in the August 17th Nova Scotia election. Her father, Brian, represented the riding of Cumberland North during the 4 years that the provincial NDP were in power, starting in 2009. So I asked Lauren Skabar about the things she learned while her dad was an MLA.
I definitely got to be my dad's sidekick on a lot of his events when he was MLA, so I got to travel around and see how he engaged with different communities and attending community events, whether that be a fire hall breakfast or whether that be an important meeting that maybe a 12-year-old shouldn't have been tagging along to, but I did anyway. So my dad has always been a role model for me. I'm very fortunate to have him to look up to and kind of guide me through this process. I know I've been calling him even more so than usual throughout the last couple of weeks, trying to get his advice on different things and see his canvassing strategies that he used and best shoes to wear when you're walking and knocking on doorsteps so you can go for longer. So yeah, I definitely learned a lot from my dad, but I'm also really proud of where I am myself apart from him. So as proud as I am to be his daughter, I'm also really proud of taking this step myself and my own work with the NDP. So I've been volunteering on various campaigns, whether they be provincial or federal, for, again, over 10 years now. It was a big part of my youth as well, which I got into because of him. But I've kind of gone a step further than him now. He's taken a step back, and I've taken two steps forward.
Now, you say you've always been an NDPer. The party, you know, has been important to you. And you say it's because you feel that they will do things for all Nova Scotians. What would you say is a major issue here in Cumberland North for you, for the NDP, and for the people here?
Healthcare is absolutely a big issue here. I've seen it since I was young, and I would go to the ER, whether it be for my allergies or if I've fell out of a tree, whatever it be. And even when I was younger, I understood that you probably shouldn't be waiting as long as I was waiting. And of course, it's nothing to do with the healthcare professionals themselves, but especially since we saw the centralization of the health boards in Nova Scotia a few years back, it's just totally impacted us negatively, because everything's done in Halifax now. And I think everyone in Cumberland County and Cumberland North understands the differences between here and in Halifax, and somebody working for the health authority in Halifax doesn't understand the issues that people in Cumberland North face. They don't understand our demographics. They don't understand what's going on in our healthcare systems. They don't have to wait the way we do here at our hospital. They aren't seeing the same shortages that we're seeing here. So I think that's absolutely a big issue. In addition to that, affordable housing is extremely important to me. I've been talking to folks in Cumberland North who their landlord sold their house that they were renting, and now they had to move, but their rent doubled. So that isn't right. There's no reason that somebody who's been living in Cumberland North for their whole life, who may not be able to afford a house, has their rent doubled in a month because there's no permanent rent control. So we absolutely need to see rent control be permanent in Nova Scotia, so families can continue to stay in the areas that they call home and the areas that they love.
You mentioned rent control. I know the NDP traditionally is concerned about poverty issues. How would you describe the situation here in Cumberland North as far as poverty goes, and what could be done about it?
I know we have a lot of wonderful jobs in Cumberland North. We have tons of businesses in the industrial park that employ large parts of our population, which is wonderful. But we also have a lot of retail businesses that may simply pay minimum wage. Of course, there's no shame in minimum wage. We need people to do those jobs. But the minimum wage we have right now is just, it's just disgusting. It's not a livable wage whatsoever. We need to implement a $15 minimum wage immediately on the way to a living wage. It's just, you can't expect people to pay their bills and pay for childcare and pay rent or save up for a down payment on a house when they're making under $13 an hour for services that we rely on. So during the pandemic, we were praising retail workers and grocery store workers and gas station attendants for being the heroes, along with our healthcare workers, as they were and they continue to be. But if these are our heroes, then why are we paying them poverty wages? It's not right. It's never been right. And I think the pandemic brought that to light for a lot of people. They finally realized that these people are doing essential jobs that we rely on every day. When everything else might be shut down, we still need them there and we still rely on them, and they're still there for us every day, but we're failing them immensely at the provincial level, government-wise. And it's something as easy as putting it into law. It's so easy. It's as Gary Burrell was saying the other day, it's as easy as putting ink on paper, and you can pass a law to get a $15 minimum wage and to get permanent rent control. And the impact that that's going to have on so many people in Cumberland North and across Nova Scotia is just immeasurable.
Now, I want to switch, Lauren, to an issue that is an issue in this campaign, because Premier Rankin announced that they're taking the toll off passenger vehicles with Nova Scotia license plates. What's your position on the toll highway?
I have been not a fan, I'll put it that way, of the toll highway again since I was young. I know I'm not a it's the whole P3 idea is just totally, totally ridiculous to me. That toll highway could have been paid off far, far faster if we had simply publicly funded it from the beginning. Nova Scotians, and especially people in Cumberland North, have been paying for that toll for over 20 years. And that's because we decided, or the Liberals in the 90s, decided that they were going to pair up with a private corporation to fund that highway. It's just ridiculous. We have the Department of Public Transport or of Transportation Infrastructure Renewal for a reason, and that is to pay for highways, roads, and bridges. That 104 falls under that jurisdiction. I know governments are often very concerned about deficits, but how about the deficit that we're experiencing in Cumberland North when we have to pay $4 there and $4 back if we want to go to Halifax or if we want to go to Truro? What about the folks in Cumberland North who need to go to chemotherapy in Truro? You're going to make them pay $8 to access that care? It's just ridiculous. And I think the issue of the Cobequid toll goes far beyond removing the toll. It's about P3s in general. We see the Liberals trying to build schools with the P3 model or hospitals with the P3 model, and that's just going to keep making us pay for their decisions because they want to give money to their friends who own these private corporations that they're funding them through.
Lauren Skabar says the NDP would bring a fresh approach to Nova Scotia politics, even though she does acknowledge that the party disappointed some people when it governed from 2009 to 2013. But this time she points to the 60-page NDP platform document that she personally finds inspiring.
I think in Nova Scotia, and I've said this before and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, we've done so many things the same way for so long, and it hasn't worked for us in the past, and it's not working for us now. And I know a lot of folks still aren't happy with the NDP government that was in power in 2009, but I think if we've given the Liberals and the Conservatives countless chances running our province, and I'm not too happy with how things are being done right now, then I think if we give the NDP another chance, as I hope everyone does, then we're going to see a lot of really positive changes. And it's time for fresh voices and fresh faces in the legislature and in politics in general. And the only way we're going to see the change we need in Nova Scotia is to elect that change.
Now, what would I'm curious about why you say that people were critical of the NDP when they governed. What's the complaint about that Dexter government?
I know a lot of folks I've been talking to on doorsteps the past couple years, whether it be in provincial by-elections or in the 2017 election. They'll take your pamphlet, your candidate pamphlet, and they'll chat with you, but then say, "Oh, well, I remember in 2009, and I'll be like, "Oh, well, like, do you have anything you'd like to talk to about that? Maybe I can tell you where the party stands now." So I don't think even it's so much as any specific thing that happened with the Dexter government as it is that people had a change and it didn't do every single thing perfectly the way they expected it to, and they would just rather stick with the same old, rather than make a change again. So I think for a lot of people, is staying in your comfort zone. But when I look at the NDP platform now, there are so many things that I wouldn't have thought about before. And now that I see it in writing and I see what we're going to do, I realize how important that is to me. And I realize how important same-day, next-day mental health counseling is, when before, I wouldn't even thought that that was real. I would have thought that I would just have to suffer and wait like 6 months or 12 months or 18 months to see somebody to talk, when I know now that it's possible to have something better. And the NDP is going to do that for me. And whether I win this election or not, I'm definitely going to keep fighting for the folks of Cumberland North, and I'm going to be fighting on the team of the NDP.
Lauren Skabar's dedication to the NDP led her to a job as a researcher for the Federal Party in Halifax. That's where she's putting skills to use that she learned before her recent graduation from Dalhousie with a master's degree in library studies. In her spare time, as we mentioned earlier, Skibar listens to the music of Carly Rae Jepsen, but says she's a big fan of Nova Scotia music, too. Television set to drown them out.
Television set might as well have been blind. There ain't been listening to a lot of Joel Plaskett lately, getting me in the proud Nova Scotian mood, so that's been really fun.
For CHMA News, this is Bruce Wark reporting.
Thanks to Bruce Wark for that report. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar report for this Monday, August 9th. As always, for story ideas, tips, or feedback, contact us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.